A burst of light shrinks to a few streaks against a golden orb. Touchstone Pictures. A drawing of Totoro, a furry cat-like mythical creature. A smaller animal with pointy ears sits on his forehead. Studio Ghibli. Studio Ghibli, Nippon Television Network, Dentsu, Hakuhodo DYMP, Walt Disney Japan, Mitsubishi, Toho, and KDDI present. The Wind Rises. The wind is rising. We must try to live. Paul Valéry. Thick mist hovers above green fields surrounding a hamlet. Inside a home, a young boy and girl sleep side by side on futons under a mosquito net. The boy's chest rises and falls as he dreams he is climbing a sloping tiled roof. He uses his gloved hands for support as he makes his way to the top. He wears a cap strapped to his chin. He raises his arms for balance as he carefully steps along the narrow ridge, heading to a light aircraft perched on a platform. He gets into the cockpit of the plane, which resembles a bird with gray wings that extend into blue and a red tail. He pulls a red-topped handle, then toggles a switch. The exterior engine at the front of the machine bursts into life, and the propeller spins. The little boy turns a wheel on the side of the craft that raises the wings, then pulls the center stick back. The plane rises amidst the bright yellow rays of the sun climbing over the mountains. As daylight spreads over lush fields, the aircraft follows the course of a canal that joins a river. He passes a fishing boat. He lowers the plane so the wheels skim the water. Smaller fishing boats float close to a riverbank near a bridge as people cross with animals or pulling wagons. Smoke billows from the chimney of a nearby building. The young pilot guides the aircraft under the bridge. A group of women wave at the little boy as he soars over the bustling community. He waves back. Dark missile-shaped objects emerge from a cloud. The boy looks back at them. They hang from cables attached to a huge aircraft with a black cross on its bottom. As it moves through the clouds, the boy's mouth falls open in wonder. He slips on his goggles, but his view becomes doubled and distorted. He tears off the goggles and the hat. As he looks closer at the weapons through his round glasses, he sees black creatures astride the hanging missiles. A missile falls on the plane, shattering it, and the boy falls. Below him, a black train rolls through the green farmland. Lying on the futon, the boy slowly opens his eyes. He tries to focus on the light hanging from the ceiling. He lifts his head and squints as he reaches for his glasses behind him. He looks at the fountain and greenery outside. Alone, he gets up and folds his blanket. With his cap on and carrying a satchel, he waits at a railway crossing as the train passes. He passes over the bridge with other commuters. He stands outside an office and bows as a man enters.
Judo, here it is.
Another man steps out and hands him an aviation magazine.
Would it be all right if I borrow it?
It's not in Japanese.
That's okay. I have a dictionary.
All right, then give it a try.
Thank you.
As he strolls along the riverbank, he spots three boys picking on a smaller kid. One of them grabs the kid by his collar. The boy rushes down toward them, slipping and falling on the grassy slope.
Knock it off!
Stay out of it, Jiro!
Go home, now!
Jiro, Jiro, Jiro!
He's half your size, Takayama.
Jiro, go!
The angry boy tries to grab Jiro, who flips him easily onto the ground. He kneels before his mother, bruises on his face.
You look quite the hero.
No, I just slipped and fell.
Fighting is never justified.
Yes, Mother.
All right, now you can go have your snack.
Thanks.
He stands, and his little sister sees him.
Jiro, you're home!
Welcome home.
Oh, Jiro! Now we can pick some bamboo grass. Jiro!
She follows him. She climbs the stairs as Jiro opens a window and sits with his magazine.
You promised to pick bamboo grass today!
I've got homework.
She frowns and slides the door closed before approaching him.
What kind of homework is that?
It's an English magazine.
A page shows a picture of Count Caproni.
Look at his stupid mustache!
He's a very famous Italian aircraft designer. His name is Caproni. Wow, it says he's a count.
What happened? Your face is scratched.
Leave it alone, Kyle.
You should put iodine on it. I'll do it for you.
Would you cut it out?
He tries to move from her grip. Later, the boy lies on the roof watching the stars. His sister joins him.
What are you doing up here?
You're not supposed to be up here.
Where are your glasses?
I heard you can fix your eyesight by focusing very intently on the stars. Mom will be mad if you're not in your bed.
A shooting star!
She lies next to him.
Oh, there's another one. Ah, they're pretty. Oh, look at that one. Wow. There are so many of them.
She points toward the stars. Sunshine lights up the sky as gliders soar overhead, their wings painted green, white, and red. Colors of the Italian flag. A strong wind blows around Jiro as he stands in a field. The double-winged airplanes fly closer to the ground. He sees Caproni in one of the cockpits. Jiro removes his shoes and runs along beside him.
Hey! E tu chi saresti?
I'm a Japanese boy!
Un ragazzo giapponese? Come mai ti trovi qua?
I'm dreaming! I think this is my dream!
Un sogno? Fermi lì! Non muoverti!
Caproni climbs down to the wheels of the aircraft and jumps off onto the field. He turns and strides toward Jiro.
This is my dream, you know.
I think it's mine too.
Your dream? Listen, Japanese boy, so you think we are sharing this dream?
I hope so. You are Count Caproni, aren't you? I've been reading all about you.
Interesting. Yes, this is a dream. This world's a dream. Welcome to my kingdom.
I'm honored.
They shake hands.
Look at them.
Caproni waves at the gunmen on the gliders.
They will bomb an enemy city. Most of them will never return.
Jiro pictures shot down planes plunging into a burning city.
Well, it will all be over soon.
Caproni signals for a three-winged aircraft to approach. The side reads, transport.
Come on up, Japanese boy. This is my true dream. When the war is over, I will build this. What do you think? Magnificent, isn't she? Let's take off. Instead of bombs, she'll carry passengers.
From a passenger cabin, they climb a ladder to the topmost wing.
I find dreams are a good way to see my designs. I can go anywhere.
Caproni walks carefully to the edge of the wing.
Come on! Walk along the spar, Japanese boy.
The boy runs up beside him.
Look at that.
A 9-winged plane skims the sea surface. It becomes airborne. The boy sees people peering through the windows of the plane. He waves with Caproni as the passenger aircraft banks away.
She is beautiful, yes?
Yes, incredible.
She will carry 100 people across the Atlantic, both ways.
Mr. Caproni, may I ask you a question? I know I can't be a pilot because of my eyesight. If I'm not a pilot, can I still design airplanes?
Japanese boy, I've been around planes all of my life. Do you know how many I've flown? None! Not a one!
Many can fly airplanes, but I designed them. I create airplanes, and so can you. An aeronautical engineer!
Yes!
But remember this, Japanese boy. Airplanes are not tools for war. They are not for making money. Airplanes are beautiful dreams. Engineers turn dreams into reality.
Yes.
Arrivederci! We'll meet again!
The boy opens his eyes and sees his mother looking down at him.
Jiro, you were talking in your sleep. You were smiling. You must have been having the most wonderful dream, Jiro.
Mother, I'm going to be an aeronautical engineer.
Oh, that does sound like a good dream.
He told me that airplanes are beautiful dreams, so I'm going to make beautiful airplanes.
Jiro's bird-like plane flies below Caproni's 9-winged aircraft. An older Jiro gazes from under a white hat at the rich countryside, gliding past his train window. He stands up in the crowded cabin and takes his suitcase from the luggage rack.
Excuse me, miss. Please, take my seat. Pardon me, sir. I insist.
He makes his way through the crowded cabin. He steps out of the car and sits on the steps beside the coupler. Farmhouses dot the landscape. Jiro is busy reading a book when a young girl steps out of the car next to his, distracting him.
Your hat.
I got it.
The train crosses a bridge, causing a breeze to blow off Jiro's hat. The girl catches it, but almost falls off.
Are you all right?
Safe.
Nice catch. You speak French?
Le vent se lève. It's a French poem.
Il faut tenter de vivre.
The young girl smiles. Jiro and the woman bow to each other, and she follows the girl back inside. The girl waves to Jiro. Jiro puts on his hat, retrieves his book, and sits back on the steps.
vent se lève, il faut tenter de vivre. Wind is rising, we must try to live.
The train continues its path across open farmland. It nears a town. The Earth's mantle cracks and then ruptures. The shockwave causes a mighty earthquake that destroys homes. The track rises and falls from the force, and the train's emergency brake is pulled. Luggage tumbles onto the passengers.
Earthquake!
Eyes wide, Jiro clutches a pole as he watches houses crumble to the ground. Electricity poles crackle as they are pulled from the earth. The ground slowly stops moving as a few small rocks fall to the ground. Smoke billows from the train. The view of the devastated town as a few people emerge from their homes. Passengers pour out of the train. Jiro spots the young girl trying to lift her companion to her feet.
What's wrong?
Her leg.
Here, let me see.
Be brave, Kinu.
It's broken. She won't be able to walk.
Miss, the boiler. Please save yourself. Go!
That's nonsense.
He carries Kinu.
Nothing's going to explode.
He seats her on some grass.
We need to brace her leg.
He rifles through his suitcase and grabs a slide ruler.
This will hurt a little. Just relax.
He lays the flat ruler on Kinu's leg and binds it.
She can't walk on this. Where do you live?
In Ueno.
Don't worry, I'll get you there.
People cower in fear as debris falls from the smoke-filled air. Pillars of smoke rise above the rooftops.
Let's go.
Jiro carries Kinu piggyback as the young girl grabs his suitcase and hat. They follow a group of people.
What about your luggage?
It's not important.
They walk up the tracks as a few of the townspeople escape the burning homes by climbing across the roofs. Jiro's face is covered in sweat. Jiro stumbles.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Hang on, Kinu.
Are you all right?
I'm okay.
He looks at the carnage and for an instant imagines Caproni's planes flying amidst the smoke and ashes.
Better hurry.
People fleeing from their homes pull carts with their belongings. Jiro and his companions make for higher ground with other survivors. They gather near a temple. The earth begins to shake, and fearful mothers hold their children close, and others grab their possessions. The structure collapses. Jiro carries a dripping cloth as he steps over people.
Here, my mother made me this shirt. You must be thirsty. Don't worry, it's clean.
He pours water into Kinu's open mouth.
The well is almost dry. And for you?
Please.
She takes the shirt and rubs it across her face.
The fire hasn't reached Ueno, and I'm heading for the university, so I can take you there.
And I'll bring someone from our house.
Then we should get going. Now, Kinu, look after my suitcase.
Okay.
We'll bring someone to help get you home. I promise.
Okay.
Stay strong.
I will.
Gigantic clouds of thick smoke blot out the sky, and a row of fire lines the horizon. People rush frantically about in the streets. Jiro takes the girl by the hand and leads her through the crowds. His hat blows off, but he keeps moving. They enter a quiet area between houses and run down a pathway. The young girl runs toward a waving man. The girl's family rush out to welcome her. Jiro leans against his knees to catch his breath. Two men run up to him as the girl glances his way. Jiro retraces his way to the temple with the two men. One of them carries Kinu.
Thank you very much for helping us.
Take care of her.
But wait, at least tell us your name.
Jiro waves his farewell.
What a great guy. Who was he, Kinu?
Jiro reaches the university and finds it engulfed in flames. He steps over a leaking hose being used to try and put out the fire. He walks over to an area where students are piling books.
Well, it isn't Jiro. You picked a lovely day to come back.
How bad is it, Honjo?
Bad enough. The holy site is burning. We grabbed everything we could carry out of the library. Got a smoke. A flying door. You don't see that every day. I'll never stop the fire now. Tokyo's finished.
A postcard displaying Caproni's nine-winged aircraft on a body of water settles at Jiro's feet. He picks it up.
It's as beautiful as it was in the dream. I can't believe he really built it.
A cameraman and photographer accompany Caproni in a boat as it glides alongside his plane. The front and rear engines start up. Pilot waves at Caproni as the craft begins taxiing. The giant craft gradually starts to rise under Caproni's watchful eye. The plane begins to crack apart. It crashes into the water. Caproni rips the reel out of the camera and throws everything into the water.
Damn wind's picking up. We need to hurry.
Jiro and Honjo stamp out the flames.
What do you think, Japanese boy? Is the wind still rising?
Yes, it's a gale!
Well, then you must leave. Le vent se lève. Il faut tenter de vivre.
Only a few buildings remain standing amidst the rubble. Jiro washes his face from a faucet as people wait in line behind him. He puts on his glasses and looks at a lone Japanese airplane patrolling the sky. Students pull carts filled with their luggage along a busy waterway. In a room, Jiro sits at a table with one hanging light and draws a curve on paper. He writes down some calculations. A man carrying a sack on his back walks by construction workers. A woman strides past the classroom, ringing a small bell.
Jiro, let's eat.
Mm-hmm.
Look, even the new buildings are old-fashioned.
But the streets are a little wider.
So? And the airplanes are still old.
Welcome!
They enter a small restaurant.
Oh, look, mackerel again.
Yeah, it's always good.
Always.
Always the same lunch, always the same mackerel.
Kimi, may I have
coming
an egg?
Up!
Meanwhile, other countries are building metal planes.
We are over 10 years behind, and you're still stuck on mackerel.
Jiro pulls a bone from his mouth.
What is it?
Beautiful, isn't it? Look at that wonderful curve.
Only you would get a thrill from fish bones.
Kimi,
come on, finish up.
I need a coffee.
Jiro draws the curved shape of the bone on a piece of graph paper. He consults his ruler and writes something.
What on earth is Jiro working so hard on?
Fish bones.
Is Mr. Horikoshi back from lunch?
Jiro.
Honjo, listen to this. The NACA has a standard wing cross-section just like the curve of this fish bone.
Maybe the Americans eat mackerel, too.
Jiro, you've got a visitor.
Yes?
A young lady came by and brought this package for you, Mr. Horikoshi. You were out, so she left it with me.
I see. Thank you very much.
Aw, is that a present from your girlfriend, Jiro?
Can it, freshman. And give me a smoke.
Jiro opens the tied-up bundle and finds his shirt and ruler along with a letter. He runs outside.
Jiro!
Let him go.
He looks down the empty road leading into the university campus. Jiro walks along the waterway, a scarf around his neck.
Mr. Horikoshi.
Yes, ma'am?
You have a guest waiting for you upstairs. It's a young lady.
Huh? Young lady?
Jiro climbs the stairs to his room. A young girl in a pink kimono sits with her back to him. He blinks.
Hello?
Finally! Where were you?
Kayo. I'm sorry. I completely forgot.
I'm not surprised.
Where's mother?
At uncle's.
Is she staying there?
Just for a night.
Kayo, you've gotten so tall. And very pretty, too.
You are so insensitive. I'm still mad at you because you never come home. Oh, the sun's already down. I'm gonna be late.
I'll tell them it's my fault. Don't worry. We'll take the penny steamer.
I think she must really like you.
I don't know. It's been over 2 years.
Didn't you ever try to see her again?
I did. I went back after the fires were out.
In flashback, Jiro runs to where he left the young girl from the train. Broken walls are all that's left of her house.
Her house had burned down.
That's terrible.
Here, let's catch this one.
They get on a boat. The setting sun casts a hazy glow over the water.
Are you cold, Kayo?
I'm fine. I didn't think Tokyo would recover so quickly.
Automobiles chug alongside the waterway.
Jiro, maybe I can stay here with you? Father won't let me live here by myself.
Well, I might be in Nagoya by the time you come.
With an airplane company?
I hope so.
Men have it so good. Why can't I live in Tokyo and go to medical school?
Medical school? You should. I think you'd make a great doctor.
I think so too.
When I'm home for New Year's, I'll talk to Father about it.
Oh, thank you.
They arrive at their destination. Jiro wakes up and looks out his train window. Fields flooded with rainwater form small islands with houses on them. Jiro sticks his head out a window and sees men jumping out of the train's path. Jiro exits the train carrying a suitcase in one hand and balancing a larger bag on his shoulder.
Hey, Jiro!
Hanjo greets him.
Heavy?
Yep.
Glad you made it.
Me too.
We're just getting started.
We certainly are.
They get into a car outside the station.
Probably heading for the city to look for work.
There were dozens of them.
And there will be hundreds more.
Angry citizens run across the road.
Looks like we lost another bank. This time it's Kamehachi.
The mob try to force their way past policemen into a building.
It's awful and so sad.
There were rumors.
The economy's in the tank. And I hate to break it to you, Jiro, but so is our new employer.
Jiro, in a suit, joins other workers as they head towards a scattering of buildings near a large body of water. Mitsubishi Internal Combustion Engine Company.
Do you know the pressure we're under? We needed you here over a month ago.
But sir, I was told I could start anytime in April.
Then you should have been here in March.
Yes, sir.
I've got a very important assignment for you.
Yes, sir.
It's a design for the wing strut fitting, and by the way, it's already late!
Yes, sir.
I need the plans in the shop as soon as possible. Do what you have to do.
Yes, sir.
Jiro gazes at the planes being built outside.
Here. Let's get your sundry specifications. Follow me.
The room is filled with engineers busy at work.
This will be your desk. It's important. Nobody likes it. Maybe you will.
Yes, sir.
Work goes here, hack goes there.
Yes, sir.
Listen up! This is the new engineer on the Falcon Project. It's that genius we've been hearing all about. Name genius?
Jiro Horikoshi, I am very happy to be here.
Get to work.
Yes, sir.
And the rest of you, get back to work!
Hanjo, seated at a desk directly across from Jiro, winks at him. A ship crawls along its course on the horizon. Jiro immerses himself in a manual. He walks past the manager, who suspiciously eyes him. Jiro refers to a file of blueprints from a shelf. He goes back to his desk, as the manager pretends not to notice. Jiro takes out his slide ruler and jots down some measurements. Jiro, his hair blowing, envisions a white airplane in flight. The frame structure of a wing appears. Suddenly, the wing breaks apart and the plane hurtles downward.
Jiro. Jiro. Let's eat.
Ah.
Oh,
Or let's go see the assembly floor.
Could we maybe have lunch first? Maybe Kurokawa simply hates you. Why else would he have you design that strut on your first day? Two, please. Excuse me. Could we ask a slight favor?
Wow, it's really coming along.
Thank you again for making time for us on your break.
No problem at all. You young engineers should visit here more often.
Honjo, look! The strut has already been installed.
I knew it. Kurokawa's obviously just hazing you. Unless his fitting is better than yours.
Mr. Kurokawa's always tough on new employees.
Honjo, come up here and take a look. Something's not right.
Honjo climbs the other side of the ladder and stands beside his friend.
What do you think?
It looks solid to me.
No, this isn't good. It's got the same problem as my design.
Then it must be bad.
Foreman, lunch is over. What's going on?
Quiet! They're working.
I love it! Airplanes are fascinating!
Yeah, fascinating. But we're late.
Jiro sketches a mechanism at his desk.
Young man?
An elderly man in a brown suit stands beside him.
This is our boss, Mr. Hattori.
Is this his first assignment?
Strut fitting for the Falcon project, sir.
Not what I expected.
No!
What am I looking at here?
Sir, the steel leaf spring will ease the stress from the wing. This wire expands and contracts, absorbing the forces that act on the wing. I have it running through the strut and anchoring in the fuselage.
That means that we would have to entirely redesign the length of the wing.
You're right. I'll run those calculations tonight, sir.
You're wasting your time. Where's the assignment that I gave you this morning?
Right here, sir. I finished it.
Jiro spreads out another sketch.
Well done. What do you think, Kurokawa?
It's perfect. Turn your work in as soon as you're done.
Yes, sir.
What a day. I'm heading out.
Me too.
Wild guess. You already finished Kurokawa's homework?
Just about.
What are the oxen for?
Oh, they haul the prototypes to the field. Takes them 2 days to drag it out there. Believe that? That's how backwards we are.
I don't know. I like them.
Four oxen pull a cart with a partially assembled airplane on it in the early morning hours. A white sheet is placed on a grassy landing strip in front of the airplane hangars as a combination of military personnel and engineers line up on the side. They concentrate on the soaring form of the prototype high above them. The plane suddenly banks and comes in low over the grassy field. Jiro, Kurokawa, and Hattori follow the plane's progress through the sky. Kurokawa holds up a stopwatch as he watches through his binoculars.
Here she comes! Almost here! Almost here!
His stopwatch fails.
What? This stupid thing. Damn it!
Jiro remains attentive. His hat is blown off as the craft zooms past.
Tell me you got it.
13.3 seconds, 146 knots.
Blast! She needs more horsepower. She deserves better.
Hey, Kurokawa.
Yes, sir.
A word with our clients.
Gentlemen?
Well done. Yeah, your Falcon is one hell
of a
plane.
Well, I bet Mitsubishi couldn't do it. Now I'm buying drinks.
Jiro picks up his hat and continues to observe the plane. The craft plunges towards the Earth as all eyes follow it.
Power dive. He's trying to break 200 knots.
The pilot levels the plane, then points it almost straight up as it rockets back toward the sky. The aircraft's frame crumbles under the strain, and it shatters as it pulls out of the dive.
Shoot!
Go get him!
Everyone charges to the crash site. Later, under a steady downpour, Kurokawa sifts through the debris. Jiro joins him.
Mr. Kurokawa, let's investigate what happened when the weather clears. It'll be easier.
How's the pilot?
He's okay.
That's good.
Let's go, Mr. Kurokawa. We'll regroup for Falcon 2.
Jiro, be straight with me. Do you think the strut fitting failed?
No. I think the problem here is much deeper and more complicated than we thought. I will never forget what I saw today. It's like an endless road has opened up before my eyes.
There won't be a Falcon 2. The Army has decided to go with a competing design. Today was our last shot to change their minds.
So we have to shift course. We're going to design and build a heavy bomber.
With help from the Germans.
You're going to Germany to study Junker's designs. I recommend it.
A tram trundles down a track toward the town. Jiro looks out of the window and gets up as the streetcar stops. He walks past people lounging outside a restaurant and up to a shop. A girl carrying a toddler on her back and a young boy stand under a street lamp.
Still open?
Welcome back. Your usual?
Yeah, but two slices this time.
Coming up.
Jiro looks at the children as the girl frowns and turns away.
Here you go.
Who looks out for them?
Their parents work late. They wait there every night. I feel bad closing the place up.
I see. Well, thanks.
See you tomorrow.
Jiro passes the small group, but then stops and turns back.
Are you hungry? I have two slices of sponge cake. You can have them. It's okay, I just bought them.
The older girl eyes him, her brow furrowed. He opens the wrapping and offers them the two slices of cake.
See?
The young boy turns to his sister with wide eyes.
Go ahead, take it.
Come on.
The girl grabs her brother's hand and pulls him away. Jiro watches as they disappear around a corner, still holding out the cake.
Jiro?
Jiro lies on the bed, fully clothed.
Wake up! I heard they axed the Falcon project. I need details. Sponge cake again?
Yeah.
How do you stay alive?
Hanjo munches on a slice of cake as Jiro pours himself a cup of tea.
What did you expect? Did you think she was just gonna smile and say, thank you, sir?
Of course not. Well, maybe I did.
Well, if you're looking for a mouth to feed, there happen to be plenty of other hungry kids in this neighborhood. And their parents are probably hungrier. It's shameful. And I bet it gets worse before it gets better.
I don't understand why this country is so poor.
Poor Jiro, stuck in his happy dreams. What Japan is paying the Germans? They could feed every single man, woman, and child a mountain of sponge cake. But if this country wants airplanes, then I'm going to make the most of it.
Really? They're sending you too?
They told me today.
That's great.
The fact is, this poor country pays us a lot of money to design warplanes. Embrace the irony. I'm going to Tokyo tomorrow to get married.
Married?
To work hard at the office, you need a family at home. More irony for you. Good night.
Jiro sits by his window and smokes a cigarette. The train sends out clouds of steam as it travels through the picturesque German countryside. The group of Japanese engineers enters the German aircraft factory with their escort.
These tight-fisted Germans aren't letting us see any of Dr. Junker's work.
I don't see any oxen.
Jiro, the airstrip's right next to the plant.
Wow, everything is so big.
They assemble in front of a hangar. The wide doors open to reveal a giant four-engine aircraft. Hanjo inspects the plane.
The G-30A. Is this what we're buying?
Yep. To convert to a bomber.
Who's the army planning to bomb with this one?
America, probably. Not that they could. This is something.
It's amazing. Look, passengers sit in the wings. Be ashamed to put bombs there.
That's the job, pal. This is our chance to get their all-metal technology.
The group stands in front of the plane's entrance as two men guard the door.
What? They're not letting us in?
Jiro walks away from the group and comes to a halt in front of a single propeller plane, which has one wing cross-sectioned. He gazes up at the gleaming craft just as two guards run up and grab him.
Beautiful.
Japaner, bleib da stehen. You're not authorized to be here. You must go back immediately.
Get your hands off of him. You've been slamming doors in our faces all day.
You Japanese copy everything. All this technology belongs to Germany.
Oh, I get it. So you're afraid we'll actually improve it.
Hanjo, let me talk to them. Wir haben eine Vereinbarung zu Lizenz Herr Junkers unterzeichnet. Therefore, we officially have a right to be in this hangar examining this airplane. I understand you are just doing your job, but please understand I'm just doing mine. When I saw Dr. Junker's single-engine plane, I had to get a closer look. I'm not a soldier, simply an engineer admiring a fellow engineer's work.
Well, as a soldier, my orders are not to leave you Japanese unattended.
Moment, man.
A man gestures to the guard. As the man talks to the escort, Jiro and Hanjo remove their hats and bow to him. The man waves to them as he leaves.
That's Dr. Junkers.
What an engineer.
Dr. Junkers gives you permission to go inside.
The giant aircraft sails through the air.
So, Jiro, what do you think? Well, there's more vibration than I expected.
Our bosses are kids in a candy store.
Hey, you two should let the army reps sit in here, okay?
Yes, sir.
Just one moment, please.
It's fantastic. What a fortress.
Look, you can walk through the wing. Amazing. It's like being inside a power plant.
Wer ist da? Hier ist der Zutritt verboten.
Guten Tag. We have permission to be here from Dr. Junkers. Would you mind telling us a bit about your station?
Here is the engineer's station.
It's such a marvelous aircraft.
Das ist unser Stolz. Young men, you can't go any further. Da besteht Lebensgefahr.
We understand, my friend.
Are you seeing this? It's incredible.
A triumph. German industrial technology.
Later, Jiro watches the traffic from his hotel window. Jiro takes a puff of his cigarette as Hanjo pours over some papers and reaches for a cigarette pack.
Junkers lets us in. The Germans shut us out. These specs are useless.
He crumples the empty pack and tosses it.
Jiro, give me a cigarette.
Jiro!
Hmm?
Give me a smoke.
We're out.
Hanjo rifles through the ashtray and picks up a used butt. He takes a deep puff and stares at a sheet as Jiro stubs out his cigarette.
It's cold outside, but this room is quite cozy. You know that Junkers makes these radiators too? Funny, they look just like his planes with such strong parallel lines.
Okay, I get it. German technology is so superior that they can put wings on anything and fly it. Including their damn radiators. Jiro, would you just give it a rest, please? We can't learn anything from these government specs. They're nothing but a bunch of pretty numbers.
This technology belongs to Germany.
Hanjo, maybe we don't need their technology after all. Wood and canvas could be just as good as metal.
Jiro, we cannot be stuck in the past forever. We're already 20 years behind.
Hanjo gets up and grabs a coat and hat.
Let's get some air. My brain is going to explode.
They walk down a quiet street, their hands stuffed in their pockets.
It's as if we're a hare chasing a tortoise with a 20-year lead. But in our little story, the hare doesn't sleep. We can close the gap, but how can we beat it?
We're too far behind. We'll always be chasing it.
But what other choice do we have? Keep running and catch up someday?
I wonder if there's a different way to run.
Jiro stops walking and turns in the direction of the music.
What is it?
Schubert's Winter Journey.
The music emanates from an open window.
Well, that's perfect for us. A masterpiece of misery and woe.
A man sprints past, chased by three others. One holds a flashlight.
Dieser Japaner.
Da drüben!
Someone else waves them over.
Geh zurück nach Japan!
They disappear into an alley.
What was that?
Secret police. We saw them in the hangar.
A scuffle breaks out among the men, their elongated shadows cast on the walls. Jiro strolls through a field covered in snow. A train screeches to a halt in the distance. Jiro sees a fiery mass spinning through a cloud. A Japanese plane on fire plummets downward. It explodes, raining down debris around Jiro. The plane's wing with the symbol of Japan plummets into the snow.
Jiro? Jiro, I'm done. The bath is yours.
Jiro lies on his bed, still dressed.
Dead to the world, because he thinks he's shouldering the future of Japanese aviation.
There's a telegram from headquarters.
Come in.
No need. Some of us will be returning to Japan right away. You're staying here in Germany. Jiro will continue west and return to Japan.
West?
They want him to see the world.
Alone?
The sky is painted a fiery red as the sun sets. Jiro sits alone in the cabin, looking out the window.
Mr. Caproni, is the wind still rising?
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Then it's a perfect time to embark on my final flight. Join me.
Wait, you're retiring?
It's a pretty big jump.
Caproni opens the door and Snow flies in. He jumps out.
Come on! Jump!
Jiro leaps onto the snowy ground that turns into green grass and flowers.
Why are you just sitting there? Let's go! There's a hatch underneath the fuselage! Hurry up!
Yes, sir!
Let me through, girls!
Sure!
Jiro grabs a ladder as the airplane starts moving, and a host of hands pull him up.
Come in!
The plane is packed with an excited bunch of people.
These are all of my workers and the families. Practically the whole village. I thought we'd take a little jaunt before we deliver this bomber to the government.
Caproni and Jiro climb through hatches at the back of the plane.
What do you think?
Incredible. It's like a building out of ancient Rome.
This plane is too big to be used for fighting, but the military has a weakness for big things.
Japan could never build anything as grand and as beautiful as this. The country is too poor and backwards.
Inspiration is more important than scale. Inspiration unlocks the future. Technology eventually catches up.
A smaller craft passes under them.
That's my family. Oh. We Italians are very poor as well. Too many mouths to feed.
Revelers stick their heads out the windows, waving.
Hey! Settle down or the bottom will fall out! Come on. Be careful, huh? This may be a dream, but you can still lose your head.
Caproni leads Jiro between giant rotors and up onto the topmost wing of the plane.
Which would you choose? A world with pyramids or without?
What do you mean?
Humanity has always dreamt of flight, but the dream is cursed. My aircraft are destined to become tools for slaughter and destruction.
I know.
But still, I choose a world with pyramids in it. Which world will you choose?
I just want to create beautiful airplanes.
Like that?
Jiro's fantasized airplane passes overhead and makes a loop. It cruises beside the two engineers.
Very graceful.
I have a long way to go. I don't even have an engine or a cockpit yet.
Jiro pushes his prototype forward like a giant paper plane. It fades in the distance.
Bravo! A beautiful dream.
The two men walk back along the wing.
This is my last design. Artists are only creative for 10 years. We engineers are no different. Live your 10 years well, Japanese boy.
Jiro sits at his desk, working late into the night.
Jiro, let's go get some coffee.
But I've got to go to a...
Cancel it!
Jiro walks up to a small restaurant close to the factory. A large circle with a picture of an airplane is next to the name. A vinyl record spins on a player as he studies a file seated at a table with Hattori and Kurokawa.
This is a very tall order.
They're always tall.
How long have you been here, Jiro?
Jiro!
Huh?
How long have you been here?
5 years.
Jiro, we're going to bid for the Navy's carrier-based fighter. We think you're ready to be the plane's chief designer.
It's a plum job. It's a plum job!
Hattori gestures for Kurokawa to give the young man his time. The record finishes.
What do you think?
Leave it to me, sir.
Good.
I'd like Honjo on the team, sir.
Not a good idea.
You just end up competing. Friendships are always more important.
Relax. Finish your coffee. I'll check, please. Kurokawa.
We've got other plans for your friend Honjo.
Jiro bows as the men leave and goes back to poring over the file. Jiro and Kurokawa fly in a Navy plane. Kurokawa points at a ship with a runway. The plane banks and goes in for a landing. Oil spurts from the engine, splattering everyone on board.
Damn these Japanese engines!
The plane makes a hard landing, almost missing the arresting wire.
Damn these short runways.
The two men clean up.
I brought some clean uniforms.
Oh, thank you very much.
Three planes get ready to take off on deck.
These are spiffy uniforms!
Yes, we're ready!
The first one takes to the skies. The second plane splatters oil, hitting Kurokawa and Jiro. It falls off the runway, crashing into the water.
Man overboard!
Men in bathing suits dive in, and a rescue vehicle is lowered as the plane goes under. Jiro stares transfixed at the horizon on the trip back to shore. Jiro leads a group of mechanics pushing an aircraft out into an open field. He holds a pen and notebook in his hands. He turns around and stops.
Stop!
A worker helps a pilot into the cockpit. Two men wind up the engine. The pilot waves at Jiro, and he bows. Jiro watches intently as the plane lifts off. The plane climbs higher, circling a cluster of clouds. A train rumbles up the side of a mountain. Jiro walks down a street, carrying a bag. He strolls through a wooded area. A young woman stands painting on a small hill, shaded by a large umbrella. She spots Jiro walking on a path below her, his his large brimmed hat hiding his features. An older man walks out of the woods from the opposite direction. He waves his walking stick as Jiro offers him a curt nod and passes by. A strong wind topples the woman's easel and sends the umbrella whirling through the air towards Jiro. He turns just in time to catch it. His hat flies off. The woman smiles as Jiro struggles against the wind to shut it. He finally closes it and collapses on top of it.
Bravo! That was a nice catch!
Jiro waves back at the woman.
It nearly took you away. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
Thank you. I will make sure that it stays grounded.
Yes, sir.
Jiro picks up his hat and continues on his way.
I feel bad. I wanted to say thank you.
Nice young man. Don't worry. He's staying at our hotel. You'll have a chance to say thank you.
At the Hotel Kusakaru, Jiro steps into his room and takes off his coat. He opens the door to his narrow balcony. He watches two women play tennis beyond a line of trees. Jiro lies on the floor. The plane he built for the Navy falls apart in midair. The pilot manages to escape. The door slams shut, but Jiro is lost in thought and doesn't notice. Jiro stands before the battered remains of his creation. He walks away. A waiter runs into the brightly lit lounge of the hotel from the outdoor seating area. The woman and her father come down from their rooms and enter a cozy dining area. A waiter shows them to a table. The woman catches sight of Jiro, seated on the other side of the room. She stands for a moment, watching him. The waiter holds her chair for her, and she sits. A middle-aged man winks at Jiro as a waiter sets down a large salad in front of him. As Jiro glances at the man munching on his greens, the woman leans back in her chair and he sees her. They bow and continue gazing at each other. A waiter distracts Jiro.
What is it, dear?
There's something about that man who caught the parasol.
Oh, seems to be here by himself.
Jiro, his jacket flung over his shoulder, takes a stroll through the countryside. He walks along a path that borders a small stream. He comes to the edge of a wooded area where he finds the woman's easel and painting supplies. Jiro glances down and then further along the wooded path looking for her. He ducks under a branch as he continues to follow the trail. He comes across the young woman standing in front of a spring bordered by logs, her back to him. She turns at his approach. Jiro bows to her, and she returns his gesture. As he steps closer, she quickly spins back to the pool.
I'm very sorry.
Please don't go. I was giving thanks to this spring. I asked it to bring you here. I asked it to bring you to me. You haven't changed at all from that day years ago. You look just the same.
Her eyes fill with tears.
We were so grateful for your help after the earthquake. I wanted to see you again and thank you.
Ah, I remember.
My name is Naoko Satomi.
I'm Jiro Horikoshi.
It begins to rain. Gray clouds move across the sky and cover the sun. Jiro and Naoko take shelter under the umbrella as they trudge up the path through the downpour.
This umbrella is useless. Are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. Kinu searched for you for years. Then she found you just before she got married. I cried for joy after she dropped off your shirt. You see, you were our knight in shining armor.
Your knight?
Yes, I think I remember. You were on a white horse.
Well, I'm not doing much now to keep you dry.
That's okay. I don't mind at all. Kinu will be so excited when I tell her. I found our hero again.
Oh, your painting is ruined.
No, it's not. I'll always remember this day when I look at it.
Well, look, it's clearing up.
The sun shines brightly down on them.
It's like another land. Oh, Jiro, look.
A beautiful rainbow paints the sky.
I'd almost forgotten what rainbows look like.
Life's wonderful, isn't it? We should go. My father's probably worried sick.
Naoko's father appears and waves to the duo.
There he is! Father! Come with me. I'd really love to introduce you.
Of course. You're soaking wet.
No, I'm fine. I was just with Mr. Horikoshi. He saved me again.
Jiro Horikoshi.
I'm Satomi. It's so very good to meet you, Mr. Horikoshi.
Later that evening, in the hotel. Jiro descends the stairs and looks around. He walks through the lounge, which is filled with guests, and onto the patio. Jiro leans against the railing and looks back into the hotel, where the guests are slowly leaving. He takes a seat at one of the tables. Takes a deep puff of his cigarette.
May I sit here?
Certainly.
It is the man from the restaurant who winked at Jiro. He sits next to him and lights a cigarette. Jiro turns at the different smell of the smoke.
German tobacco. I've been saving it. Last one.
I understand. Japanese cigarettes always taste like home to me.
You must have visited Germany, yes. Perhaps to Dessau?
Oh, you must be Sherlock Holmes.
You read magazines. German magazines about airplanes. All Japanese engineers visit Dessau. It's elementary, my dear Watson.
You cracked the case.
Dr. Junkers is in trouble.
In trouble?
The man locks his gray eyes on Jiro.
He fights the hand that feeds him, and he will lose.
He fights Mr. Hitler's government?
The Nazis are a gang of hoodlums. This is quite a good place. No mosquitoes, not too hot. Good watercress, a good place to forget bad things, isn't that right?
Cigarette? I'm afraid they are Japanese.
Thank you. It is a nice night. Here is the Zauberberg.
The Magic Mountain, Thomas Mann.
Yes, a good place for forgetting. Make a war in China, forget it. Make a puppet state in Manchuria, forget it. Quit the League of Nations, forget it. Make the world your enemy, forget it. Japan will blow up. Germany will blow up too.
Do you think Germany will go to war again?
Yes, they must be stopped.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Naoko has a fever. We'll have to cancel our dinner plans.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope that she feels better soon.
The doctor will be here soon. I must go.
Jiro bows at Nahoko's father's retreating form before turning to his companion's empty chair. Jiro walks on a path that surrounds the hotel. He stops under a street lamp. He looks up at the dimly lit windows of one of the hotel's apartments before continuing on his stroll. Jiro is reading in bed when he hears footsteps in the corridor. He gets up and opens the door. He looks up and down the hallway before returning to his room. He walks out onto his balcony and looks up into a room where a lamp casts a faint glow. He closes the balcony door, sits at a table, and lights a cigarette. In the morning, Jiro sits in the restaurant. The man with the gray eyes sits at a nearby table reading a newspaper. Jiro glances across the room at Nohoko's empty table.
Who has seen the wind? Neither I nor you. But when the leaves hang trembling, the wind is passing through.
On his balcony, Jiro looks up at the window where the curtains are now drawn.
Let the wind carry these wings. Carry these wings to you.
He cuts a design from a sheet of paper, then launches the paper airplane from his balcony. The small craft soars and lands on the edge of the roof above Jiro's room. Jiro climbs onto the railing and stretches towards the toy. He feels along the gutter. Jiro, now with only 1 foot on the railing, grasps a beam and reaches. Nahoko appears on her balcony.
Jiro. Oh, Nahoko!
The balcony gives way and Jiro falls, grasping the beam with one hand to catch his fall. The wind pushes the plane off the roof and Jiro tries to grab it. The tiny craft sails past the man with gray eyes and soars up to Nahoko's balcony where it lands behind her.
Be careful!
Jiro maneuvers himself back onto his balcony and waves at Nahoko. He mimics the flight of the paper plane with his arm and gestures for Nohoko to look behind her. She spots the toy and sends it flying. It flutters to the ground, where the man with gray eyes moves side to side, then crushes it while trying to catch it. Jiro marches down a path carrying a sturdy-looking glider. The man with gray eyes watches from the patio with a smile. Jiro stands beneath Nohoko's balcony. She waves to him. He shows off his glider, removes his hat, and bows to her. She claps her hands. Jiro hooks a rubber band on the glider and launches it. It soars past Nohoko and glides back down. Jiro falls into the hedge while trying to retrieve it. Jiro makes a few adjustments to the toy before launching it again. Nohoko watches the path of the glider as it soars into the air, then sails past her. She reaches out to grab it, but leans too far over the railing and her hat falls off. Jiro rushes to catch her hat and once more lands in the hedge.
Nice catch!
Leaves flutter off Jiro's clothes, and he places her hat on his head, just as Nohoko casts the plane into the air. The man with the gray eyes watches the exchange with a smile. The German man plays to a packed lounge. Jiro and Nohoko's father take a seat. The man winks at Jiro.
Das gibt's nur einmal, das kommt nicht wieder, das ist vielleicht nur Träume.
Jiro and the crowd join in the singing.
Das kann das Leben nur einmal geben, vielleicht ist morgen schon vorbei. Das kann das Leben nur einmal geben.
Denn jeder Frühling hat nur einen Mai.
The man sits with Jiro and Nohoko's father.
Bravo! Bravo!
Well, is your daughter feeling better?
Yes, thank you. Much better.
Wonderful. This is the magic mountain. It cures everyone.
I think you're right.
At the beginning, this young man was very gloomy. Now he's very happy because he's in love.
Yes.
But summer love is seasonal. You will go down the mountain and forget all about it.
That's not true.
This love of yours, it wouldn't be about my daughter, right?
Yes, sir. I love her very much.
Oh.
And I sincerely hope you'll approve, Mr. Satomi.
Well, I don't,
Father, I would very much like to have your approval, too.
Now there is a beauty.
Jiro meets her at the foot of the staircase.
But, Jiro, there's something I need you to understand.
Anything.
My mother died of tuberculosis 2 years ago. And now I have it, too.
Nohoko, I'm in love with you. Nothing's ever going to stop me.
I've loved you since the day the wind brought you to me.
Will you please marry me?
Yes, but first I'm going to get well. Will you please wait for me?
I will, even if it takes 100 years.
Congratulations. He's a nice young man, and your daughter is wonderful. This is a summer to remember.
Nohoko paints at the top of a hill. Jiro comes up behind her and kisses her. Back in the city, Jiro strolls past a hangar with a prototyped aircraft.
If it isn't long-lost Jiro!
Honjo!
When did you get back?
2 days ago.
Hot, isn't it?
Come, take a look at this.
Honjo leads Jiro to a sleek two-engine plane.
She's beautiful. Good, clean lines.
They walk to the rear of the craft.
They gave me free rein, so I designed something radical. But it won't amount to anything if she doesn't fly.
Oh, I'm sure she'll fly. I feel the wind rising.
They imagine the completed craft soaring gracefully through the sky.
Honjo, you have closed the gap, and in one huge step. My plan was just a tin duckling. But here's an idea for you. I thought of it too late to implement in my plane.
He hands Honjo blueprints.
It's a way to reduce drag by using flathead screws on all the access hatches and the fueling port. Maintenance will be easy with a hinge on one side.
Jiro envisions the new innovations on Honjo's plane.
I think a spring of this diameter should be fine.
Jiro, that's it. What a great idea.
As usual.
You should use it.
Thanks, pal, but not this time. I'll keep these, but I won't use them before you. Your idea belongs in your next plane.
Thanks, Honjo.
You're welcome, but you better hurry up.
Jiro! Where are you?
Mr. Kurokawa.
Jiro.
Get back to the office.
Thanks.
I'm coming! Come to the house for a drink next time?
Sure!
Jiro, you pedal!
Jiro leaps onto the bicycle as Kurokawa jumps up behind him.
The secret police are looking for you!
Oh! What?
Did you hear me? The Thought Crime Boys!
Well, why me?
Didn't ask! I told them you were away!
Men in white suits get into a car and drive away. Kurokawa watches them leave from a window.
They're just pretending to leave. We won't fall for that. You'll work up here today. I've arranged it.
But why would they possibly be after me? I don't understand.
They've already arrested some of my friends. None of them understood why. Enter.
Here's your stuff. Hi. I think we got everything.
I can go back and check.
Nah, just leave it and go.
Jiro, the flange is here.
Can't wait to see it.
Jiro opens the crate and picks up a shiny, long triangle-shaped metal object and examines it.
It's perfect.
Sure is. I wish we had that a year ago.
So what do you think, Jiro?
Our next plane won't just be a duckling. It'll be a full-grown duck.
A full metal duck.
Mr. Kurokawa, what do you think?
I hope you youngsters appreciate the luxury of extruded aluminum alloy. That's it! Now back to work!
Kurokawa and Hattori leave in a car as the workers head home at sundown.
All right, the coast looks clear.
Okay, Jiro. You should keep a low profile for a few days, just in case. We'll try to smooth things over.
I'll put you up at my house.
Can we stop at my apartment first? I have to check my mail.
Is it sensitive?
Yes, it's very sensitive.
The police will be opening all your mail.
It's from my fiancé. This is outrageous. These things shouldn't happen in a modern country.
You're engaged!
You're human after all. I thought you would marry an airplane.
I don't find that very funny.
Of course it's not funny. The police are waiting for you at your apartment. If they want to read your love letters, let them.
Jiro, we need you to refocus on the fighter project. That's why we sent you away to rest after the crash. The company will do everything to protect you.
If you keep your mind in your work.
Jiro writes to Nohoko.
I can't bear being apart from you. Why do you suppose the police are looking for Mr. Kastorp? He left so suddenly.
He remembers going on a walk with Nohoko and seeing the gray-eyed man wave to them as he drove away.
I pray every day that he managed to leave Japan safely.
Jiro sits at a table under a lamp writing. Kurokawa's wife brings him some tea.
Jiro, you have a telephone call. The telephone's over there.
Thank you, Mrs. Kurokawa. Hello?
Jiro, it's me. You have a telegram.
Yes?
Your landlord received it 2 days ago, but just brought it in here now.
Would you please read it to me?
Now?
Yes.
Naoko has had a lung hemorrhage. Satomi.
Droplets of blood splash on a painting as Naoko coughs uncontrollably.
Jiro, are you still there?
Thank you. I have to go now.
Jiro, wait.
Jiro hangs up.
What is it?
Mrs. Kurokawa, please, I need to know the quickest way to get to Tokyo.
Tokyo? Today?
Yes, it's an emergency. I have to be there as soon as possible.
All right. If you take the noon bus, then you'll just be able to catch the express. I'll send someone to hold the bus for you. Go get your things.
Thank you.
Gia!
Jiro dresses hurriedly. He falls in his rush to collect his papers. He catches the bus. Then the train. Jiro squats in the entrance passage of a car, working on his designs. Tears fall on the page, but he doesn't stop. A small train pulls into a station after dark, and Jiro gets off. He walks at a brisk pace and arrives in a quaint neighborhood. He approaches a house at the top of a hill and sees a lamp glowing in a window. He hurries through the entrance, but does not go to the main door. He enters through a side gate under an arch covered with vines. Naoko weakly opens her eyes as she lies on her bed. She turns to the open doors leading into the garden.
Darling.
Jiro falls into her open arms.
I'm sorry I wasn't here sooner.
He kisses her tenderly.
You'll catch it.
You're beautiful. I love you.
Jiro, through the garden?
Satomi heads to his daughter's room.
Look who's here. Jiro. He came all the way from Nagoya, but can't stay for long.
I'll be sure to use the front door the next time I come.
Well, the garden's faster.
Okay, garden it is.
Take care, my darling.
Sleep well. Good night, sir.
I'll see you out. You'd better hurry if you're gonna catch the last train.
I wish I could look after her, Mr. Satomi. She seems so tired.
The last thing Naoko wants is to be a burden to you. You'd better go.
They bow, and Jiro leaves.
Naoko? Are you all right?
I'm going to the sanatorium in the mountains, the one the doctor recommended.
But why?
It's so far, and I don't want you to be alone.
Because I want to get better, Father. I want to have a life with Jiro.
Jiro strides to the station, his brow furrowed.
Just made it! The whole board is waiting.
Jiro, Kurokawa, and Hattori sit with a group of men.
So are you ready?
Gentlemen, I'll do my best.
Now you'll see the Navy. They're the client.
Gentlemen, I'll do my best.
You weren't even listening.
Nope. So I gave up on that idea.
They're rather late.
Jito's in the middle of a review with the design team.
Oh?
I wanted this design to use the latest aeronautical advances. Take a look.
Retractable undercarriage?
It's built to reach 270 knots.
270 knots? That's 500 kilometers per hour.
But the Navy only asked for 220 knots.
220 will be obsolete by next week. The wing load is 120 kilos per square meter. Minimal drag will be the key. I pushed the design to the limits of technology with split flaps and slats on the leading edges.
The engineers picture the plane flying overhead. It overtakes a naval ship and speedboat in the water.
But the weight becomes the big problem. One solution would be we could leave out the guns. So I decided to put this design back on the shelf.
This is refreshing. Delightful.
He nearly had it.
But we are not giving up because our engines are underpowered. We'll build a light, strong airframe. We'll cut every ounce of excess weight and minimize drag with a smooth skin. We're gonna build an all-metal fighter like nothing the world has ever seen. Mr. Hirayama, please. This is Mr. Hirayama. He is our production engineer.
Thank you, sir.
He's going to tell us about the new rivets that he's developing.
I believe it is technically possible to match the strength of conventional rivets with rivets that are flush.
What's he talking about?
A new way to cut drag.
We're going to skin the entire plane with flush rivets to produce a nimble, fast aircraft.
I must say, that was interesting.
It was inspiring.
Snow-capped Mount Fuji towers over a row of buildings tucked away in the mountains. Patients, wrapped in quilts, lie on beds in an open veranda.
Miss Satomi, today's letter. Thank you.
Nahoko ducks under her quilt and reads the letter. Snowflakes flitter through leafless trees. Nahoko pokes her head out from under the covers. The snowfall thickens. Sunlight bathes the grounds of the sanatorium. Nahoko steps outside wearing a gray overcoat and ruby-colored hat. She jogs towards the town. Meanwhile, Jiro and the engineers toil away at their desks.
Chief, you have a phone call.
I'll have to call them back.
I think it's an emergency.
Hello, Mr. Satomi. Good to hear from you, sir. Yes? Yes?
Nohoko looks out the window as her train reaches Nagoya Station. Passengers stream out of the cars, converging on the platform. Clutching her coat close, Nohoko slowly exits the train. Jiro frantically pushes his way through the crowd, searching for Nohoko. He spots her feeble frame and begins running. She stumbles towards him. He catches her and hugs her.
Jiro. I'm here now.
Jiro.
I'm here. You all right, my love? Can you walk?
Mm-hmm.
Come.
I have to go back. I just needed to see you.
No, don't go back. We should be together.
She smiles.
Oh, you must be Nohoko.
Pleased to meet you. I'm so glad you're here.
Jiro. Mr. Kurokawa, we have a request.
We have plenty of room, dear.
I know we have the room. That is not the problem. I simply can't approve of an unmarried couple living under this roof.
Then we will marry tonight. Mr. Kurokawa, Mrs. Kurokawa, will you please be our witnesses?
Oh. What? Tonight?
Of course we will, dear. Nohoko traveled all this way. It's the least we can do.
My doctors know about this, and my father has given his blessing.
Please help us.
The young couple bow.
The bride and I have a lot of work to do, and so do you. Come, Nohoko. Oh, don't mind him. He's always like that.
If you care about her at all, Jiro, you'll send her back on the morning train.
I would have to give up the fighter project, Mr. Kurokawa, because I would go with her.
Is that your heart or your ego talking?
Nohoko doesn't have much time. We've made our decision.
I see. All right, so I guess it's on with the wedding.
Kurokawa's wife carries a lantern as she leads Nohoko dressed in a pink floral kimono. They enter a covered walkway as tiny snowflakes swirl around them. A white flower adorns Nohoko's long hair. Kurokawa peers out of a window.
Here they come. She's coming.
Kurokawa sets a tea tray beside him and kneels solemnly on his cushion.
Hear me! I bring to you a lovely maiden who has come from the mountains to be with her beloved. She has given up everything for him. What say you?
Hear me. The man I present is an insensitive chucklehead without even a home to call his own. But if that's what she wants, she can come in.
And then they shall exchange the sacred vows.
She blows out the lantern and pushes open the door to reveal Nohoko. Nohoko bows slightly, and Jiro's mouth falls open. He leaps up to help her in.
You are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Nahoko sips tea from a bowl and hands it to Jiro. He gulps it down. She rises and kneels before the Korakalas. Jiro joins her.
Mr. Kurokawa, Mrs. Kurokawa, all Jiro and I have in this world is each other. I cannot thank you enough for your kindness. We'll never forget our debt to you.
Tears fall from her eyes as she bows.
Nonsense. There is absolutely no debt to repay. We're both so happy that you found each other. Aren't we, dear?
You're both very, very brave.
The older couple cry. Jiro shuts the sliding doors, opening out into the garden. He kneels beside his bride.
You must be exhausted.
I feel like I'm in a wonderful dream. Feels like the room is spinning.
Then you should try to get some rest.
Come here.
Are you sure?
She pushes back the bed covers.
Come here.
He turns out the light. Keio sits in a small bus rumbling down a road. The driver glances at Keio, and she rises with a package in her hands. She gets off at a stop and crosses the road. Keio wears a frown as she waits in a dimly lit room. She turns to the door as Jiro enters.
Kaio!
You are going to tell me you completely forgot I was coming?
Yes, I completely forgot you were coming.
You are so insensitive.
Congratulations on finishing medical school.
Congratulations on your marriage to Naoko. I've come to thank Mr. and Mrs. Kurokawa on behalf of the entire family.
Are they still up?
They have gone to bed.
So, you met Naoko?
Yes. Jiro, what are you going to do? She's alone in that room all day. You wouldn't know it because you come home so late. Do you know she puts rouge on her cheeks so you won't worry? Naoko's condition is much worse than you think, Jiro. I know because at school I've watched as people... She's my sister now. I really like her. How can you do this to her?
Tears flow down her face. She wipes them away.
Does Naoko really have to stay here?
Yes. She does, because each day together is very precious to us now. Get some rest. We can talk more in the morning. I'm glad you're here.
He gets up, collects his belongings, and leaves. Nahoko wakes up as Jiro enters the bedroom.
I'm home.
I must have dozed off.
Go back to sleep.
She helps Jiro put on his nightgown.
Thank you.
Did you see your sister?
Yes.
I like her a lot. So confident and strong. She's got such a bright future ahead of her. I told her I wanted her to be my doctor. And she bought me a gift from your mother, this nightgown and robe. See, she made it for me.
Is that too bright?
No, it's fine.
I have to finish the design by tomorrow.
Your macro bones?
You remembered. I think I may have a way to make it a bit lighter.
Come a little closer.
He shifts the table closer to the bed. Nahoko offers him her hand from under the blanket.
Give me your hand.
He holds it.
This is nice. I really like looking at you while you're working, Jiro.
On a contest for one-handed slide rule users, I'd win first prize for sure. Look at that. I can make each rib half an ounce lighter.
You can? It's good.
30 ribs. That almost makes a pound.
See, I knew it. You work better when you're holding my hand.
You're right. If only I could leave my hand right here for the test flight.
Jiro leans down to kiss his wife.
You, my dear, should get some sleep.
Don't let go.
I won't let go. I need a cigarette. Can I let go for a minute?
No, smoke here.
It's not good for you.
I don't care.
Jiro lights a cigarette with one hand. At the aircraft factory, two workers secure a bolt. Hanjo walks up to Jiro's prototype aircraft.
Hey, Hanjo.
Can I take a look?
Sure. I hear good things about your heavy bomber.
That's not bad.
Jiro, she's beautiful.
Hanjo looks at the propeller and then the wing.
The infamous flush riveting. Feels a little rough.
Yeah, we're still learning how to do it.
Well, you'll get it. You already left the Germans behind. I'm still stuck with them. This design is classic Jiro. Right down to the macro bones. Jiro, is it all right if I use your flush rivets and that spring-loaded hatch?
Mm-hmm, of course. Can't you redesign?
Yeah, I wanted to redo the whole thing, but they only let me touch the fuselage.
But what about the wings?
That's what keeps me up at night. The wings still carry all the fuel. And I can't shield them because she has to fly over 1,800 miles. It's already too heavy. We can't even add an ounce of weight. So without a redesign, Japan's first advanced bomber only needs two or three hits and she'll burn like a torch.
A squadron of Japanese bombers is attacked by biplanes. The fleet is decimated.
And who are they gonna bomb with it?
China, Russia, Britain, the Netherlands, America.
Japan will blow up.
We're not arms merchants. We just want to build good aircraft.
That's right.
Good night, pal. Try to get some sleep.
You too.
Boss, we're calling it a day.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
In the morning, at the Kurokawa residence, Jiro silently enters the room while Nohoko sleeps. He kneels next to the bed and leans over her. Her eyelids flutter open before she glances up at him.
Welcome home.
My plane's finished. Now we'll see how she flies.
Congratulations. Well, you've worked so hard.
The oxen are taking her to the field now. I'll probably have to spend the next few nights there.
You must be tired, my love.
A heavy-lidded Jiro lies next to her.
Just a little.
She will fly beautifully.
She will. I couldn't have done it without you here.
I love you, Jiro.
Nohoko.
She places her hand on his face as he falls asleep, and then gently removes his glasses. She places the glasses behind her head and pulls the blanket over Jiro's still form before cuddling up next to him. A team of oxen haul Jiro's prototype onto the test field. Jiro and Nohoko kiss.
I'm off.
Good luck.
Jiro waves to Nohoko as he walks across a bridge. She smiles and returns the farewell. Once he's out of sight, Nohoko's smile fades. In the kitchen, Kurokawa's wife prepares a meal.
What are you doing up?
I'm feeling so much better today, Mrs. Kurokawa. So I thought I'd take a walk.
Be careful. Don't tire yourself out.
I know. The room's still a mess. But I'll straighten up when I get back.
All right. But remember, Kaio is coming soon to be here for her brother's celebration.
Yes, I'll be back soon.
As Nahoko leaves the residence, she dons a broad-brimmed pink hat and pulls it low over her face. She sticks her hands in the pockets of her trench coat and walks down the road. Keio stares out of the bus window as it passes Nahoko. She hurriedly gets up to look at the receding figure in the rear window.
Then please come inside.
Keio and Kurokawa's wife rush to Nahoko's room.
Oh no, no.
The room has been emptied, except for three envelopes arranged on a low table. Kurokawa's wife slides to the floor.
She left us letters. This letter is for me.
Keio reads the letter.
Says she's going back to the sanatorium. I'll find her!
No! Let her go! We shouldn't do anything until after Naoko's train leaves. She wants him to always remember her as she was.
Keio charges outside, clutching the letter. She stops and begins to sob. A train passes through the green fields as Nahoko gazes out of the window. Jiro's prototype soars gracefully over the pink-blossomed line canal below and up into the blue sky and white clouds. Below, a crowd watches its progression.
Wonderful. Just look at her, a true Japanese fighter.
What about speed? How'd she do?
The numbers, they are off the charts. We're checking them again.
How fast is she?
240.
240?
Jiro watches the plane come into land. Jiro's eyes widen, his lips part, and he abruptly turns to stare fixedly at the rolling hills in the distance. He doesn't watch as his plane lands in front of him. Kurokawa pulls Jiro's arm as the test pilot approaches the designer.
She flies like a dream. Thank you.
Engineers and ground crew celebrate the success of the new aircraft. The vapor trails of numerous aircraft paint the sky as bombers fly over vast clouds of smoke generated by the burning remains of a town. A vast field of wrecked aircraft smolders, giving off plumes of gray soot. A lone figure walks through the carnage. Jiro steps between the debris and up a grassy slope. The rubble thins out and disappears as he ascends the hill. Caproni stands on the summit and looks down on him.
So, we meet again, Japanese boy.
Mr. Caproni. I remember this place. This is where we first met.
In our kingdom of dreams.
Now it's the land of the dead.
Not quite, but in some ways, yes. But what about your 10 years in the sun? Did you live them well?
Yes. Things fell apart in the end, though.
That's what happens when you lose a war. There is your fighter.
A squadron of sleek fighters race by, flying low to the ground. A pilot raises his hand at the duo. Giro returns the gesture, and Caproni tips his hat. The pilot salutes. The aircraft rise to join a vast formation in the deep blue sky.
Truly, truly, a masterful design.
Not a single one returned.
There was nothing to return to. Airplanes are beautiful, cursed dreams, waiting for the sky to swallow them up. Someone is waiting for you.
Caproni gestures to the valley. Nahoko appears below in the meadow, walking towards them while holding a white umbrella and wearing a yellow long-sleeved dress that billows in the wind. She waves to Giro.
Nahoko. She has been waiting here for a long time.
You must live, darling.
Giro leans forward, eyes wide.
You must live.
The umbrella is carried away by the breeze. With a smile on her face, Nahoko floats into the air as her body fades away. The parasol rolls on the grassy field before disappearing.
She was beautiful, like the wind.
Thank you.
He closes his eyes tightly.
Thank you.
You must leave. But now, shall we drop by my house? I have some very excellent wine.
Caproni descends the hill, followed by Giro, who continues to look up at the blue sky, filled with clusters of white clouds. A tribute to Giro Horikoshi and Tatsuo Hori. Original story and screenplay written and directed by Hayao Miyazaki. Credit roll. Producer, Toshio Suzuki. Production, Koji Hoshino. Studio Ghibli. Music, Joe Hisaishi. Theme song, Hikoki Gumo. Lyrics, music, and performed by Yumi Arai, EMI Records Japan. English language cast, Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Giro Horikoshi, John Krasinski as Hanjo, Emily Blunt as Nahoko Satomi, Martin Short as Kurokawa, Stanley Tucci as Caproni, Mandy Patinkin as Hattori, Mae Whitman as Keio Horikoshi, Werner Herzog as Castor, Jennifer Gray as Mrs. Kurokawa, William H. Macy as Satomi, Zach Callison as Young Giro, Madeline Rose Yen as Young Nahoko, Eva Bella as Young Keio, Edie Meerman as Jiro's mother, Mae Whitman as Kinu, Darren Chris as Katayama, Elijah Wood as Sony, Ronan Farrow as Mitsubishi employee, David Cowgill as flight engineer. English language production. Director, Gary Rydstrom. English language screenplay adaption by Mike Jones. Executive producer, Frank Marshall. Producer, Jeffrey Wexler. Co-producer, Robin Klein. Translated from the original Japanese by Jim Hubbard and Raiko Izutsu Vajirasarn. Post-production sound services by Skywalker Sound, a Lucasfilm Limited company, Marin County, California. Re-recording mixer, Gary Summers. Supervising sound editor, Gwendolyn Yates Whittle. Dialogue editors, Cheryl Nardi, Brad Seminoff. ADR editor, Matthew Wood. Assistant supervising sound editor, Lisa Chino. Assistant re-recording mixer, Bonnie Wild. Engineering services, James Austin, Scott Brewer. Digital editorial support, Danny Cacavo, Ryan J. Frias, Scott Levine. ADR recordists, Marco Alicia, Michael Levine. Video services, John Countryman. Client services, Eva Porter. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures. Voice by Aaron Meza. Distributed by Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures. A Studio Ghibli film. The End.